The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. Once again, this talk is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Avrom Ze'ev ben Rabbi Yaakov, Dr. Abraham Shames. We discussed a little bit last time some of the basic attitudes towards the difficulties that we suffer in this world, how to put them in perspective, how to manage them and go on, how to realize and recognize that everything that Hashem does is certainly with a purpose, and the emotional pain is really the issue that is of concern to us rather than the intellectual issues. And that being the case, that we know that really the issues here are emotional, I think we have to elaborate a little bit upon this dynamic of the emotions and how emotions affect everything that we do. And by that, I mean that emotionally, a person can become confused and question and even negate things that he or she knows intellectually to be reality and to be true because the emotions are so painful. In fact, most people are aware of the fact that it's really the emotions that control the intellect, and that most decisions and conclusions are really as much, if not more, a factor of the heart and the feelings than they are of the cold, rational intellect. I guess a dramatic example of that is Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his career, who reviews all of the miraculous occurrences that that generation and their parents witnessed themselves, millions of eyewitnesses, witnessing the miracles in Mitzrayim, witnessing the miracles on the Yam Suf, witnessing the life in the Midbar, standing by Har Sinai and hearing the Creator himself speaking to them. And yet he tells them, you know this information, know it. He says, know it this day and return it to your heart that Hashem is the Almighty God in the heavens and the earth and so forth. And it's the pshat that the Targum says is, return it to your heart. How could such a generation lose it? Why do they have to return it? What is he talking about? This is information that they know. These are life's experiences that are deeply etched in their mind, in their experience, in their intellect. And yet he says, return it, return it. Rashi always says, constantly return it. And it seems that it slips, much like I think I mention often the moshel that a Rav once gave me. He keeps his Rebbe's picture on his desk, and when he wants to talk Lashon Hara or do something inappropriate, puts the picture face down. That we do that with Hashem too. When our emotions are hurting, whether it's the emotion of desire to be free to do something inappropriate, or whether it's the emotion of pain, but the emotion of pain and suffering of tragedy and difficulty and the challenge of rising above these tragedies and difficulties of life become so acute emotionally that oftentimes we allow it, or it affects our intellect, and we begin to question the basics of life that we know to be so true, but the emotions start to confuse us and to cause us to question. So we have to constantly strengthen the emotions as well, and constantly strengthen the intellectual information that we know, and not allow the emotional pain to get the best of us. Now, how do we do that? Well, I think that the way to do that is on two levels. One level is the intellectual itself, and the other level is the emotional. In terms of the intellectual, we have to review the basics that we know to be true. We have to constantly reinforce the realization that Hashem is in control of the world, that He has created everything, that He rules and controls everything, that nothing happens in this world by accident, that He is involved in every detail, that His care and His love for each and every one of us is infinite. And these intellectual ideas have to be constantly reviewed and revisited and tackled and reaffirmed in order to strengthen that and prevent the emotions from sometimes blinding us and confusing us in these basic truths that we know that are just clear to us under normal circumstances. And on the emotional level, we also have to find the emotional solace, the consolation, the ability to cope, the emotional feelings that soothe the pain with which we feel. And one very beautiful moshel, which I heard from one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim many years ago, is David HaMelech says something very strange in Kapitel Chof Gimel, the 23rd Psalm, as it's known. He says, Shivtecho umishantecho, heimo yinachamuni. Your shevet is your whip, and your mishenes and the stick that I lean on, they are sources of consolation. And we understand the moshel of the staff that one leans on as a consolation. When you have someone or something to lean on, it makes the difficulties of life easier. When we have family to lean on, when we have friends to lean on, when we have community to lean on, especially when all of these share with us in our grief and in our difficulty, it helps the nechoma. Tzoras rabim, Chazal say, chatzi nechoma. The suffering, the pain of the rabim, of the masses, is a half of the consolation for us. But the shevet, the whip, how is the whip a consolation? Whips are representative of pain, of beatings, of suffering. How did David HaMelech say that the whip of Hashem, in the whip of Hashem, he finds consolation? And I heard that, imagine a shepherd. He has this beautiful flock that he's shepherding, he's allowing to graze, and they wander in the fields, and they're running, and it's a beautiful day, and the conditions are just perfect, and everything is fine. By the end of the day, he has to start gathering them in. He gathers them in, and he takes accounting, and he realizes that one little lamb is missing. And he sets out to find that lamb, and he's looking. In the meantime, it's starting to get dark, and the lamb is also concerned about having lost the flock and lost the shepherd, the loss of the shepherd, the security of the shepherd and the flock, and is wandering around, I guess beginning to cry, and he's looking for the lamb, and the lamb is looking for him. And all of a sudden, he spots that lamb in the distance, and with the long whip, he cracks it over the lamb's back, and the lamb says, "The shepherd is with me. I'm not lost anymore." The shivtecho, the shave at the whip, can sometimes serve as an achoma, knowing that Hashem is with me. When we see, and it's painful to articulate, but when we see the tragedy inflicted on our best, on our finest, on our tzaddikim, on those individuals who have helped and contributed and done so much for the betterment of the world in which we all live, and that whip is cracked against them, in a sense, that has to also be a sense of nechoma. It's not an accident. It doesn't make any sense. It happens too often to the finest. It is only that Hashem is with us. And we sense emotionally in that painful and tragic process that He has a cheshbon. He's there. The shepherd is with me. I know He's with me. I sense the crack of the whip sends the message that He is there with me. And even though I don't understand why He has to do things the way He does, and I certainly, if I were asked, I would design things differently, but when I know that the shepherd is with me, that has to be a great source of consolation. And there's another perspective of this same emotional concept The Pasuk says, Bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, your sons, your children to Hashem, lo'isis goydedu v'lo'isosimu korcho b'ineinechem l'meis. Don't perform the ancient rites of excessive mourning. They would rip their scalp and pull out their hair and perform acts of excessive mourning. It says, Bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, and the Mefarshim asks the question, what's the connection? Why are they both in the same Pasuk? You are children to Hashem, don't overmourn. And the explanation that they give is that despite how deep and how great and how tragic the loss may be, but when we realize that we have a relationship that is even greater than any human relationship, a relationship with Hashem, a relationship that lasts beyond even when the neshama exits this world, the neshama of our neshama, and the connection to that Hashem, the source of that chelek elika mimal, when that connection is eternal. Bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, you are children to Hashem, no matter what, no matter how great and how painful and how overwhelming and how tragic the loss, in that relationship, but there's still another relationship which can console you. And it seems that the understanding of the dynamic and the depth of the loving relationship that exists between the Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the Jewish people and the Creator, between each and every individual Jew and Hashem, understanding and feeling the warmth and the security of that relationship is a consolation that sort of has the, that I guess has the ability to console and to soothe and to begin to fill the void. When we allow that relationship to expand, when we allow that relationship to flourish, when we work on that relationship, it has the ability to console us, no matter how tragic the loss is. And therefore the Torah says, don't overly mourn, because you're still left with this eternal relationship. A relationship that starts at the moment we enter this world, and a relationship that exists to eternity, even beyond this world. In a certain sense, that's part of the consolation, as we mentioned last time, because we know that the neshama of the one that leaves the world is connected with his Creator, and they are at one, and they are together. But we too feel, even in this world, that relationship and the warmth and the comfort and the security of that relationship has to help us cope with all of the difficulties of life. How do we begin to feel that relationship? Well, in a sense, we're really very fortunate because Hashem has provided us with the capability to connect with Him. I guess it starts, well, it really should have theoretically started at creation. But at creation, since there were no eyewitnesses there, for the Klal Yisrael, it really starts with the exodus from Egypt, with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban tells us that the miracles that we eyewitness, the millions of eyewitnesses, the upheavals of all of the laws of nature, the clarity with which we saw the Creator in the fullness, in the fullest capacity of His creative powers, that gives us that sense of recognition that Hashem is here. He's a Creator. He created the world because we saw His creative actions in Mitzrayim. We saw Him, people drinking blood and water from the same source, a Jew and a Mitzri living in the same room, one seeing frozen, one being frozen in darkness and the other one seeing the light of day and so forth, all of the Ashgocha that we saw, the Nisim Gluyim. And this, of course, introduces us to Hashem as the Creator and controller over everything. He's involved with our lives. He takes care of us. He also appears to people and speaks to them. He speaks to them as He did to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ramban says that from these Nisim Gluyim, from the blatant miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim that millions of eyewitnesses witnessed and passed it on to their children and their grandchildren, and to this very day, in a couple of weeks, we'll be passing it on to the next generation, and we're going to review, we're probably oftentimes passing it on in the presence of the previous generation, and we connect the chain that goes from one generation to the next, all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim that's been going on for 3,320 years. And we have this clarity of realization that Hashem is the creator and controller of the whole universe. And the Ramban says from that, we learn to recognize the hidden miracles that are the basis, the fundamental building block of Torah and of our lives as Jews, and something which is really the essence of our existence in the world. And when we could see, Lo Yozav Hashem es Haoretz, Hashem didn't suffice to do miracles, blatant, public, open miracles to our people, but continues throughout the generations with his Hashkocha Protis, with his divine intervention, with his intricate and intimate involvement in the lives of each and every one of us in all of its detail. We recognize that from the Nisim Gluyim, from the blatant and obvious miracles of Mitzrayim, and then we find Hashem is connected with us in everything. And when we find that connection, that forges a relationship. When I see how he's involved in everything, when I could see, despite the fact that I see so much confusion and difficulty, but with all of that, I see his involvement, I see his caring, I see his sustenance. You know, there's nothing more tragic to look at than the last 2,000 years of Jewish history. Yet there's nothing more inspiring to recognize Hashem's involvement in our lives and to forge a relationship with him that goes beyond any relationship that we can imagine. Rabbi Yaakov Emden swears by his life that these miracles that have allowed the Klal Yisrael to survive and the Torah to survive throughout 2,000 years of Golos are greater than all of the miracles of Mitzrayim and the Yamsuf of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And in fact, the ultimate recognition of Hashem, the Gemara says, the Neirois, the awesomeness of Hashem in its ultimate, is seen by so much suffering to Klal Yisrael. So many nations feeling free to do with us throughout our history whatever they please, with no hesitation, with no restriction, with no sense of conscience. And the world is behind them. And yet, here we are. Klal Yisrael survives. And the Torah survives. After a Holocaust that decimated European Jewry and yeshivas and Gedolei Yisrael, that the Torah should be flourishing today as it is, but kol katz ve'tevel throughout the world, is something that's so miraculous. It's beyond anything. And it gives us a sense of how Hashem is involved with the Klal Yisrael. And when we feel that involvement, and when we see the ability to discover Hashem's intimate love for us and involvement in our lives, even in the midst of the greatest tragedy, that is part of the process of coping, that is part of the process of nechoma, because he's with me. He's with me. He knows what's going on. He's made some very difficult decisions and moves. I believe and I know that he's pained with them as I am. But yet, he's here. I know he's here. He's involved. And he's assured the continuity of Klal Yisrael. And sometimes, and this of course is a very painful concept, but sometimes, as the Torah says, Bikroivaya Kodesh, sometimes that the Hashem's name is only sanctified with the Kiddush Hashem of people not only living B'Kiddush Hashem, but dying. And sometimes this, the tragedies that we suffer are necessary to bring the world, to bring the community, to bring the families, to bring everyone to a higher level. And it's beyond our comprehension, and we probably shouldn't even try to understand why. But we trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loving us as he does, being intimately involved in everything, he doesn't have to be involved in our lives. He didn't have to create the whole world just to do chesed. And he could have set the chesed in motion and put it on autopilot and let it happen by itself and not be involved in every detail. But the intimate involvement in every single detail in the lives of every person on this earth, this can only bespeak a love, a deep sense of love, and especially a love for the Klal Yisrael, where he has not only orchestrated our parnosa and our sustenance in every way, and our health and our lives, but he's given us a Torah. He's given us the sense of opportunity. opportunity to elevate ourselves to the highest levels, to be able to give us even more chesed and more chesed. And when we come to realize this, then even in the midst of the difficulties and the suffering of life, we feel that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it helps us to cope. And I dare say that even if at times we find ourselves to be angry, anger, although it's not for us to sanction or to criticize one's emotions, and certainly not vis-a-vis Hashem in situations of tragedy, but sometimes that is an opportunity as well as a very painful and difficult emotion. Because sometimes when we don't get angry, the reason we're not angry is because He's not involved in our lives. He's not close enough to me to get angry. I'm not alert or aware or attuned or involved enough with Him to get angry at Him. I've sort of written Him out of this involvement. It's nothing to do with Him. I don't believe in Him, but I negate, I don't pay attention. And when we don't pay attention, the results are tragic. But when I'm angry, so that means because He means so much to me, because I understand how much He loves me, because I would have expected something better from Him, and I'm upset at what He has decided that He feels appropriate to give me. And from that upset, I maintain that relationship. And through that anger, I can transform the negative emotion into a positive emotion. When I realize that, what am I angry about? Think intellectually. What did He do? He did what He had to do. He knows what's best. He certainly has nothing to gain. It isn't random. He loves Klal Yisrael. He loves us. He loves any individual that He has to remove from this world. He loves tzaddikim even more than He loves the rank and file of this world. Obviously, what He did is for the good. I am upset. I'm even angry. But as I begin to feel that emotion and to connect with Him negatively, it's there that I begin to recognize that that connection really should be transformed into a positive connection. You know, the people that don't feel emotion, that don't get upset, they don't get involved. The people that get upset are involved, and that involvement can evolve into a positive relationship. And oftentimes, we find that from the depths of tragedy and disappointment and even anger, a person can rise to find a new dimension in that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we think about how Chazal describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael, it's really something that should give us pause. Just in this parsha, in Parshas Kisiso, where we say, Beini ubein b'nei Yisrael yisilo ilam, that the Shabbos is a sign. And Rashi says it's a sign of that special relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He chose us amongst all the other nations to give us this day, which celebrates His completion of the creation, that we should celebrate it. And we say in the davening, He didn't give it to the Goyim. Of course He didn't give it. He didn't give anything to the Goyim, any of the mitzvahs. No. Shabbos maybe should have been given, because Shabbos celebrates creation. Creation has to do not just with Jews, it has to do with all of Klal Yisrael. So everybody should be privileged to celebrate this day of creation. Yet He gave it to the Klal Yisrael to celebrate this anniversary of His completion of His creation, that we and Him alone, and we know that no one else is permitted to celebrate that with us. No one else can, only Klal Yisrael. This is a special privilege. No one else can interfere with that relationship. That relationship is so privileged. That relationship is so precious. Despite the fact that everybody should be part of it, He gave it as a sign of the unique relationship between us. And when we begin to feel the uniqueness of that relationship between us, when we begin to feel the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael, Rashi and Shir HaShirim on the Pasuk, Hosei b'einayich minegdi sheheim hirivuni. Shir HaShirim, we know, is written as a moshel, it's a chosen and a kala, and their love affair and their estrangement and they're coming back together again and so forth. And at one point, the chosen says to the kala, turn your eyes away from me. They're so beautiful. I'm afraid that they'll overwhelm me and I'll lose myself. And Rashi says that this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem, speaking to the Jewish people. And he says to them, in the Bayis Rishon, in the first Beis HaMikdash, you had such spiritual grandeur, the Oro in the Kapiros, the Kruvim, that when I saw you in this full spiritual glory, it caused me Chibo Yesera. I was overwhelmed with love beyond what I should have shown you, Had Shema Altenbi, and you took it for granted and you rebelled against me. Therefore, in the second Beis HaMikdash, I'm not going to give you all of this spiritual grandeur, the Oro and the Kapiros, the Kruvim. Why? Because I'm afraid it will cause me again to be overwhelmed with love beyond what's appropriate, and that might cause you to rebel and cause tragedy. It's kaviyochol. Chazal want us to understand that the love of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Klal Yisrael, Hashem's love to the Jewish people, is as if to speak beyond his own control. When he sees us in our spiritual glory, when he sees us rising to the occasion, when he sees us the heights of spiritual accomplishment, he's so overwhelmed with love for us, almost that he can't even control it. That's the moshel. Of course, it's not true. Kaviyochol, Hashem can control, but this is the way the Chazal, this is the way he wants us to understand it. Like an uncontrollable love. Allah has kamo v'kamo, when he sees, or it's to be understood, when he sees tzaddikim, and tzaddikim, people who give their lives, people who dedicate their lives to chesed, people whose integrity is beyond reproach, people who have literally set examples and legends for communities to be inspired with, and such people he's overwhelmed with love. And therefore, when tragedy befalls such people, then we know that this could only be something that from the lower perspective, from the worldly perspective, it seems so tragic. But we must know that Hashem, in his infinite love to Klal Yisrael, and especially to those tzaddikim, has greater calculations and greater cheshbonos and greater considerations. And therefore, we have to find the consolation in that realization, in the understanding, in the appreciation of how much he loves us and what depth of caring that there is in that special relationship. You know, it could be said, I heard this once from a Chassidish Rov. He says his father was a Rov in Hungary, and somebody came to him who was very, very severely meduka b'yisurim, suffered a lot of pain and suffering. And he asked the rabbi, he says, why does all this happen to me? And he told him, he says, sometimes that a person is not even guilty of anything. There's no punishment involved. It's poshet es asher yoav Hashem yochiach. The one that Hashem loves specially, that's the one he reprimands sometimes with suffering. And Rashi explains, because even though that person doesn't deserve any punishment for anything, but through the suffering, he's elevated to higher levels. He's able to give him reward that he wasn't able even to give such a great person. And through the suffering, he elevates him, and therefore the ones that he especially loves, sometimes he brings this difficulty and suffering to. And he said, Rav told me that the individual said to his father, I understand that, Rabbi, but why can't he love my neighbor a little bit more? You know, on the one hand, we understand, but on the other hand, it's very, very painful. And we wonder, why does it have to come with such pain and such difficulty? Well, the truth of the matter is, and we mentioned this last time as well, that the only meaningful spiritual growth in this world, the only meaningful decisions as a result of our Bechira Chofshis, the only thing that truly elevates us to higher and higher levels are the difficulties that we go through in life. When we make easy choices and we get easy benefits and easy results, the world becomes oversimplified, and the choice and the commitment to good is really nullified, because it's just a matter of mathematics. It's a matter of practicality. It's a matter of simple equations. But when life is complex, and the good people seem to have it sometimes more difficult, and the good things seem to come with so much suffering, that is the mechanism. That's the plan that gives us this sense of appreciation, that gives us this sense of choice, that we make a choice, we do what's right, despite the fact that we know that it brings with it so often so much suffering. And to a family that's bereaved, when they rise above the bereavement and rise above the confusion and rise above maybe even the feelings of resentment and frustration and anger that they might have, and they commit themselves to follow the example of this great person who was taken so abruptly from their midst, then that elevates them beyond what they ever could have achieved. Because when things were going well and everything was easy and they weren't in the midst and the throngs of this suffering, okay, so we behave, it's easy enough. But when it's difficult and we rise above the difficulty, that's when we truly accomplish. That's when we've truly made ourselves. That's when we've truly become worthy of the greatness that we achieve. But I think that there's also something else. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't appreciate life unless it comes with difficulty. When things come easy, there's no, you know, that's the famous, it's a much easier realm to deal with, but that was the famous story, I think, with the old man Rockefeller and his son, Junior. They shared the same driver, and the driver once asked the old man, he says, you know, how come when I drive your son, when I drive you, you give me a $5 tip, when I drive your son, he gives me a $25 tip? And the old man Rockefeller says, I didn't have a rich father. I worked for the money. I earned it. I suffered for it. I pained myself in the process, and I appreciate it. My son, he inherited it. He didn't go through anything. No sweat, you know, no pain, no gain. And he doesn't have that appreciation. So I guess that in order to internalize and develop and maintain and fine-tune and constantly increase our appreciation for all the blessings of life, itaka has to come. It has to come with great pain. And oftentimes we find that when tragedy strikes, we develop a new sense of appreciation. Now, tragedy can work two ways. It could send people far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because, you know, they're upset and they're confused and they're angry. But it could also bring people so much closer, because they see that nothing happens by accident. And he loves. And when it's especially a good person, we know how much he loved this person. And yet he felt it necessary to do this. It's beyond our understanding. But emotionally, we can identify with it. And the pain that we're going through increases the appreciation for what a life of Torah and mitzvahs is, for the accomplishments and the example that this individual set in this world. And it motivates the future generations and those that remain to follow in his footsteps and to grow and to gain and to continue, because we've developed a new level of appreciation, even beyond the appreciation that we had and that we showed and that we felt in a person's lifetime. On an intellectual level, we also need chizuk, because everything, as we mentioned, is emotional, there's intellectual. And sometimes when the emotions are down and the emotions are confused, the intellectual becomes cloudy. And the things that we know to be self-evident truths all of a sudden seem to get hazy, and we're not sure about them. And that too needs a rededication to focus and understand what they are. And I believe that we need just some very simple review and maybe review of the review again and again to strengthen that intellectual understanding as well. You know, we as Klal Yisroel have a very unique position in all of the history of the world, that we represent the only claim in all of the religions in all of history to a divine public revelation and a giving of the directives which represented the purpose of creation to the entire Klal Yisroel in eyewitness and earshot of the entire Jewish people. This is a claim that isn't made by any other nation on the face of the earth, by any other religion on the face of the earth. Everybody speaks about private revelation, even private miracles, one or two people, a couple of people, only Klal Yisroel. And even those that recognize that there was such a revelation, there are a few such religions, but they all claim it was to the Jews at Sinai. Only in all of history do we find that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim and the Yamsuf and the Midbar were witnesses to public miracles, not private ones, witnesses to public miracles and public revelation and lived to tell the story and passed it on to the next generation and that generation to the next generation and the next generation to the next generation. When they sit down at the Seder, they relate all of these things, and it's been done so for the last 3,320 years. It's a tradition of public revelation, of public miracles, something which is unique to Judaism. Therefore, when we get a little bit shaky and we recognize that the Torah is so clear in terms of the uniqueness of its claim, it gives us an additional sense of chizuk. We, like, can't let ourselves get shaken. Certainly can't let the emunah shake, because this is clear. But it goes beyond that too. I've related here under a different in a different section of this delivery, how a friend of mine recently told me of his mother. He said his mother was a Holocaust survivor, and after the Holocaust, she was angry at Hashem, and she stopped religious observance for a while. She came back later, and then she built a beautiful family. But for a while, she stopped being religious. But she told her son that despite the fact that I was angry at Hashem and that I wasn't religiously observant at the time, I never doubted for a moment his existence. I never questioned for a moment the truth of Torah. And when he asked her, how come? Why not? Because the natural reaction would be, if I'm angry, so I'm starting to rationalize or question or get confused about the basics of Emunah and the reality of Hashem, his existence, and Torah from Sinai and so forth. So she said when she was 7 years old, the famous Sora Schneera, the founder of the Beis Yaakov movement, the pioneer of formal Jewish education for women, was stayed at his parents at her parents' home. She was 7 years old, and she met Sora Schneera. And Sora Schneera told her in such very simple terms how she knows that Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai to the Jewish people, and that Hashem performed all of these miracles in Mitzrayim and the Yamsuf and the Midbar. She said to her like this, she says, a liar will claim that he witnessed something. A liar will never claim that you witness something. In other words, if I want to lie about miraculous events that took place, I have to say, I saw them, and try to convince other people that I saw them. But if I attempt to tell the people that they saw them, you saw them, especially if I'm talking to masses of people, say, you people saw, you people witnessed, you people heard, you people experienced, never will a liar get away with that claim, because if they didn't, they're not going to buy it. They just know it's not true. Here, when he claims something personally, they think maybe it's not true, maybe some will buy it. This she says, and that's exactly what the Torah tells us. Sandwiching the Aseres HaDibros are two amazing psukim. Before the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah says, Atem ro'isem asher asisi b'mitzrayim. You people witnessed You are the eyewitnesses to what I did in Mitzrayim, all of the miracles. And after the Aseres Adibros, Atem Ro'isem, Ki Min HaShemayim Dibarti Imochem. You people witnessed that I spoke to you from the heavens. Hashem spoke to you directly. And this document, which says that this first generation witnessed these things themselves, the millions of people, not that somebody told them about it, but that they witnessed it, they passed that testimony on to their children. So we have a Torah that is a testimony from millions of eyewitnesses, not that they believed something, not that they were convinced that somebody said that he saw. That's what the liar would have said. But they saw, and they passed it on to their children. So we have testimony unparalleled in the annals of any history, of any religious history, of any religion, that testifies to this day, throughout the generations, reverberates throughout the generations to the truths of these eyewitness testifiers, these eyewitnesses that took place 3,320 years ago. And that type of chizuk we need as well, because it's only when we can strengthen ourselves emotionally and recognize the depths of the relationship that we have with Hashem, and strengthen ourselves intellectually and realize that the intellectual underpinnings of the truth of Torah, of Hashem, of Torah Misinai, of the Torah way of life, of the responsibility to perform its mitzvahs, that this is the ultimate reality having been revealed by the Creator Himself. And if in fact the Creator Himself bothered to create a world, which he didn't need, he's perfect and all-powerful, and create people, create needs in people, create the ability to be kind to them, to do chesed to them, give them a Torah so they should be able to earn the chesed, so that chesed should be so much more appreciated. It shouldn't be nama de kisuf, it shouldn't be something that they're embarrassed, that they're uncomfortable, they feel undeserving, but create a system of self-perfection so that they should feel deserving of all of this kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done and continues to do to this very day. Then in the context of such a relationship, when I could feel so close to such a creator, then it becomes so much easier to suffer the difficulties of life. Because I know he's with me. I know Boni Matem Lashem Elokechem. I know that Shivtecho is going to be an achoma, that whip is really a sign that he's with me. And when I see all of the chesed that he has done and continues to do for all of creation, and I know that everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chesed, and therefore I can feel that this too, and even though I can't understand it, and even though I have such difficulty coping with it, and even though sometimes I may even get upset at him for having done it in this way, but deep down I know that he knows what he's doing. I know the pain that he feels at the pain that he has inflicted. I know that what he does is true and right and just and ultimately for the good. And therefore, I can allow myself to allow that relationship, that confidence, that closeness that I have with him to strengthen me in so many different ways and give me the ability to cope with the difficulties of life.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org. Where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.